everybody. This is Jane Espenson calling you on your special voicemail message line.
This is Ian Bailey, and I portray August W. Booth. I thought this was a good opportunity to express my gratitude to all the fans of Once Upon a Time. Each time I watch the show, I'm reminded of how we all are special and unique beings on this planet. And all we have to do to awaken to the life we want is remember how truly special we are, each and every one of us. Fans of Once know this. That's why I love them.
Buy or lease.
You are tuned in to Hour One of Once Upon a Time Radio, a live interactive show where you, your voicemails, and emails are all part of the show. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the hit ABC drama Once Upon a Time. And you can be part of the show in a number of ways. Leave us a voicemail at area code 657-333-0626. Our website's main address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. You can even send us an email to feedback at onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
How's everybody doing? Well, I hope. Poor Colleen has a cold.
No, I do not have a cold.
All right, so this is the Once Upon a Time radio show, and tonight is Saturday, December 1st, 2012. We're going to be talking a lot about Once Upon a Time and some other things. So the first thing I think I wanted to discuss is just a little bit of programming notes. We'll be doing our first thoughts tomorrow, posting that.
That's true.
And then there will not be a live show next Saturday night.
There will not be one.
And then after that, we're going to be taking off the rest of December and just a little bit of January until the show returns.
Yeah.
So the first time we do our first thoughts will be after the cricket.
Okay.
On January 6th.
Nice.
So we need to take some time off. I think it'd be a good time to kind of recharge batteries and kind of refocus and kind of see where the future guides this show. And we've got some other projects in the works and other things, so we have to kind of put it all together and see where the future guides us. But we appreciate you sharing part of your Saturday with us. And I know some folks are way on the East Coast, so hang in there. And but yeah, it's kind of a rare thing anymore, you know, to get a group like this together to talk about a television show. But hey, it works. Mm-hmm. So. So yes, indeed. And, just as a bit of a reminder, our podcast is a little different. First Thoughts is just me and Colleen blabbing about it. And this is where we have our emails and our voicemails, from awesome listeners. We play them, we read them, and then we also kind of interject our thoughts. So, this isn't where we give you every single detail, because if we did, the emails and voicemails would be, oh yeah, well, we already talked about that.
Right.
And we think the fans are important. That's why it's really a fan show. So let us do this here, and we will jump into our first section.
And now, Once Upon a Time News.
So exciting news. We did have two more new episode titles announced, and I already said one. So episode number 10 is called The Cricket Game, and it kind of alludes to the hat trick. And that's going to be coming out January 6th, 2013. Can you believe it?
I know.
That's wild.
It's crazy. It's very crazy is what it is.
And episode 11 is The Outsider. And that's going to be coming out on January 13th, 2013. So it's another one of those 1-13-13 things. So, yes, indeed. And just a little bit, we'll kind of talk about it as we kind of dive in more. But our Thanksgiving was a little challenging.
Yeah.
I just want to say that.
It was. The weekend was a bit of a challenge.
But yeah. And so when I watch Into the Deep the first time, it was still carryover from that stuff.
Yeah, it was.
But we watched it again, and I liked the episode so much more this time.
Yeah, yeah. And I noticed a lot more than I did before.
Yeah, yeah.
I was not really paying a whole lot of attention the first time because, again.
Yeah, just being real, people. I mean, you know, so. There were some really, really great moments, and I think as we go through the voicemails and the emails, we'll kind of talk more about it. But the Bates Motel, there's a little more now. There's some preview clips for the A&E little miniseries about the pre-events of the Psycho film with Norman Bates and all that. And, of course, Connor Tracy is in that film as one of Norman's teachers in school. And, it's going to be coming out in 2013, and I saw a couple of the clips, and it was weird. It was creepy. I mean, it's creepy.
Well, I'm sure, because isn't it supposed to be the story of how Norman got to be Norman?
Well, they've put out some movies and Psycho. Other different things about the pre-times, and it was just kind of wonky, and I didn't really, but this is creepy looking. So,
right.
Yeah, it's not Once Upon a Time for sure. So anyhow, but that's all the news I have unless you have any more.
No, I've been, yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. So we will move forward. And during the show, we are going to get called in from Daniel from the Diz Geek podcast.
Shortly, I would imagine.
And he's on the road.
Oh, all right then.
So he's coming in from Malibu.
Oh.
And so it may take him a little bit of time, but he did tell me so. Yeah, he is a new convert, newish convert to Once Upon a Time. And he was at the meetup and a really cool guy. So we'll talk a little bit about Once Upon a Time and kind of what he thinks. And so.
Apparently your volume level may be a little low still, by the way.
All right. So let's try this.
You're a little further away from your microphone than I am when I'm talking, I think.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's it.
Well.
I don't have much volume just because I'm trying not to talk too loud. Because if I talk too loud or too much,
is that better?
Coughing fit. I don't know.
Okay. So let's try that. Let's try this. Let's try that. Is that better?
I guess the bumper was loud, but the talking is quiet.
Okay. That sounds a little louder to me.
Okay.
All right. Ah, well. It is what it is. Okay. So let's jump into the, the bumpers probably are going to be a little loud, and now they'll be loud in my ear, but that's okay.
Yeah.
All right, here we go with the next part.
And here are the very cool listener voicemails.
Thanks, Wayne, for that. And our first audio feedback in a long time is from our good friend Megan in Low. She was at the meetup as well. So here is Megan.
Hello, dearies. This is Megan. I'm at Podcast Junkie on Twitter and at NMX Podcast for the day job. And I'm calling with response to your suggestion that Mulan is in cahoots with Korra. I have a different theory. It's a little bit out there, but I'm thinking a few weeks ago, it was suggested that Mulan's behavior was because she was in love. And I thought, she's in love, all right, but I don't think it's the prince that she's in love with. Her main focus seems to be on Aurora, even more than finding the prince, and certainly more than the group at large. That's why she's making these things that seem like mistakes. But every time she does something, it's bad for the group, but it's all for protecting Aurora. So that's my theory. Now, will this ever actually be said out loud? I don't think so, because this is Disney. But I think we can take her actions and look at her actions, and those speak louder than words sometimes. And I'm going to predict that she is going to be the one that will realize first that Aurora's heart is gone, because she will sense that there's something not right there before any of the others will. That's my theory. Can't wait to hear what you think. Bye.
Thanks so much, Megan.
Mm-hmm.
And I did hear that before I rewatched the episode, and I actually agree with you. Because there's something there. And so
she definitely has very strong opinions on what happens to Aurora.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Maybe it will be that.
Yes. And we were at WonderCon, and Adam and Eddie did say that they love to include a gay character.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were there to hear that as well.
You never know.
Because they said they wanted to reflect life.
Right.
Now,
and so. You never know. You just never know.
And I did. I do agree that it would be interesting if she's the one that kind of Mulan does discover that she doesn't have a heart.
Mm.
So.
Yeah.
And, so let's talk about Hook taking the heart. I don't know. It may come up somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Mila learned a lot more, and we mentioned it a couple of weeks back. I think Mila knew a lot more than we kind of assumed, and I think she may have known how to give some kind of power to Hook.
How would she have known that?
Living with Rumpelstiltskin.
He didn't have the power.
Well, okay.
At the time, that's why she left him. That's why he got the power.
Well, okay. Then let's go this much. I think that it's just, I don't know. Just set that out there, maybe. I think Hook has some kind of magic somewhere, something.
He may have learned from Korra. I mean, he's been spending time with Korra.
Yeah, something.
You know, so.
So anyway, that's my crazy theory is, because he kind of goaded Korra. Go ahead, kill me. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't.
So,
yeah. It was almost kind of like, you can't. I mean, obviously he said, well, you need me. You need my help, but.
Right.
Same token.
Right.
So, all right. So we have a couple more voicemails, and they're going to be coming very soon over here. And this is the first one.
Hi, guys. Dave from Michigan. I just thought I would call with this random theory that popped into my head while I was driving to work today. Ruby is the big bad wolf. But she's a good guy. And she learned to control it. So maybe we're going to learn that the three little pigs were lackeys of Spencer in the battle against Snow and Charming, or that they were lackeys of Regina when she was the evil queen in Fairy Tale Land. Just a thought. I thought I'd throw it out there, see if you guys thought it was funny or a great idea or both. So, see you guys.
We saw a guy as a mouse, so anything is possible.
That's true. That's true. I wouldn't have gone there with that, but then,
It is possible.
You never know. You never know.
Sorry about the coughs, folks.
Yeah, I'm just
so
sorry. It's the bronchitis. It's not fun. Anyway.
All right. So our next voicemail is here.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. It's Dave from Michigan. I'm sure I sound a little weird since I'm under the weather. But in my drug-induced state, I had an epiphany about this last week's episode, Into the Deep. We had heard Cora say that the realms, a wraith sucks your soul, you don't die, your soul goes to another realm. And then we also heard Regina and Rumpel talking about the fact that she was dead and that she saw her body. Perhaps Cora knows about this because Rumpel or Regina or both of them ticked the wraith on her and she went to another realm and somehow got out. Maybe then the curse happened or something. But maybe that's how she knows about the other realm or how that happens when a wraith takes your soul. Which would mean that Prince Philip isn't really dead and that the two of them can go to Storybrooke together or they can rebuild fairy tale world together or something. I don't know. But I just thought of that and I thought you guys might like to discuss it and see what you thought. Thanks.
Thanks for the voicemail. And
yeah.
What I'm finding interesting is the farther the show goes on, the less easy things are mm-hmm. to kind of
predict,
compartmentalize. Yeah. And you think you kind of have, okay, if this is this, then that is that. And you kind of, okay, perfect. But now, you know, and I kind of get what they're doing. Lost kind of did that too, where you have influences from different belief systems, right?
Right.
And so a soul can go to another place and then come back. And I understand that. But it's just, I thought she was lying. I thought yeah. Cora was lying. I think she was
saying it to ease Aurora's mind and try and trick her into
right.
spilling the beans on what was going on. That's what I thought.
And it was very much like the whole episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, and where you know the Emperor knew how to help Anakin, you know, protect and knew these dark secrets about you know, her not dying and protecting her and all this kind of stuff. And it's the same thing here. It's like, I can get your prince back.
Well, and again, so. I think that was at that moment in time, she was just trying to ease her mind so that she could use her to get to, you know, Snow and Emma and the compass. So she can get back to, so she can get over to Storybrooke.
But yeah, you've got this fire room and you've got these two levels and we kind of mentioned, you know, the seven levels of hell and, mm-hmm. and all that. And now we've got a wraith with another realm.
I mean, it's entirely possible she was telling the truth.
It could, maybe,
I mean,
could be.
But it just seemed like the way she said it at that time, it seemed to me like it was, I'm, you know, knowing what the hot buttons were with Aurora, she knew that if she could promise her prince, you know, reuniting her with her prince, that would make Aurora, you know, do anything and say anything she wanted or show her hand, tip her hand. And Aurora is a little stronger than that.
And you know, and maybe the Halloween episode kind of threw me off kilter, but I'm finally kind of catching up. And I was really impressed with Sarah Bolger's performance. I thought she was great. And I think, you know, as a character, she's coming into her own. And, but yeah, I was just, I don't know. There's a lot of fight in her and plucky. She's probably plucky, but I think she's got a lot more than plucky. So,
who's Sarah or Aurora?
Aurora.
Oh, Aurora. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if we were still talking about Sarah.
No, when she kicked the thing and it's like, wow. You know, so.
Yep.
All right, and this is the next voicemail. Sorry, folks.
Sorry.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen, it's Dave from Michigan again. I'll be honest, I got this from another podcast, but I think it's a strong enough theory that I wanted to hear.
There are other Once Upon a Time podcasts? Are you kidding me? I thought. Just kidding. Okay.
Your guys' opinions and see if you think it's a possibility or just completely nuts. At the end of the scene with Hook and Aurora, he tells her he needs a favor, and then they cut away. What if Aurora gave him her heart willingly in exchange for something else?
It's a good point. Possibly. But, I mean, the only thing I came up with as far as that when he took the heart is before he woke her up.
Yeah.
That was the only.
She didn't know it was missing.
Right.
Because I think she, something tells me she wouldn't have willingly given it up even for anything he said because, again, he's double-crossed them a number of times.
Right. But it is possible.
It is possible. Yeah. It will be interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That Hook, you know, he's a crafty fellow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what. Maybe he can help her get Philip out of the realm of lost souls or something like that. Or he tells her it's part of his plan to get Korra. To end Korra or something. I don't know why she would do it, what would be the benefit to her, but she has nothing left. She said that towards the beginning of the episode. So what if she gave it to him willingly because he asked her for it before he let her go? Just another theory to throw out there, see what you guys think. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. And that is possible. I think the one thing she does have going for is she is trying to help. And I think that is the one thing.
She's trying to help. She's trying to be honorable, yep. Do the right thing. I don't know if she's going so far as to, hey, yeah, sure. Here's my heart.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, if she gave him her heart, she'd have to know he'd double cross somehow again, and Korra would be involved.
Right.
It'd fall into Korra's hands.
Right.
I don't know.
Yep.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't think of what she would possibly have to gain by giving him her heart. I agree. I think he took it from her before he woke her up.
Right.
Because she was knocked out cold.
And, you know, the only... Okay, so let's go with he did, in fact, take her heart. Let's go there, right? So how did he learn? I guess that's kind of what I'm...
Well, and that's the other thing, is that he learned from... I mean, he watched Rumpelstiltskin pull out Mila's heart.
Right.
I'm pretty sure he saw Korra do it a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
Korra may have even trained him to do it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. So... There's a couple of scenes that I really, and I mentioned the first one in First Thoughts is when Emma and Snow were talking, and they were talking about the blame game. And the one thing I think that I missed is that, and that it wasn't in it at all, is when Emma blamed Regina at the end. I wanted Snow to say, no, stop. That's how we got here. Just stop it. Let it go. The second time and third time I watch it, that's what I wanted her to say. To be the good mom and to really kind of instill that, you know what? No. That's just blaming and harboring is not a good idea.
Well, but they cut away really quickly. So I think they're showing us snippets of things because they've come back to stuff later. Remember?
Okay.
We've seen that.
Yeah.
So there's a possibility we'll see the conversation continue. Or she may bring it back up later. Or maybe not. Who knows?
I hope so because I really do. You know, I think I really like the maturity of the characters that we saw from season one. The more we see them in season two. I was thinking about this is what if someone... was introduced to Regina midway through season two. And they said, and you told someone who's never seen it once upon a time, said, sit down, watch some of these episodes, and I want you to watch this woman named Regina.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, it would probably be pretty shocking, I think, to go from there and then go back to the beginning of season one, I just kind of rolled through and it's like, wow, that's her?
Mm, Yeah, I guess it would depend on which episodes they watch, too.
Right.
If you start with Stable Boy, they're probably going to have a little more compassion for her.
Right.
Right?
But no,
but
I mean,
after
this...
Stable Boy, where you don't right. know what happened in Stable Boy, you might have a different opinion of her.
No, but I mean, like, maybe the last one and this one forward. Because I was just watching, and, you know, I like her as a powerful character. I think she's got a lot to she's got a lot of strength. But I thought it was really interesting. It was kind of the other side of the coin when she came and said, I brought your blanket from your bed. And the conversation when she was mixing up the potion and the curse, I guess. I really, really said, this is a completely different character than Regina, the mayor, at all, completely different. And I just said, this is so great. I mean, obviously, you know, Lana's a great actress, but it's like, you know, she has turned that kind of evil edge off, and now she's turned on the, you know, vulnerable, you know, on the path to redemption. You know, just that the vulnerability when she was making the curse, talking to Henry, was so good. Mm-hmm. It was just so good. He was calling her on the carpet. You know, it was a mini intervention. It was holding her accountable.
Yeah.
And you know, we've seen certain things like this, you know, the intervention show about drug users. And they've made that kind of correlation in a loose way with when she talks to Archie and all that. But I really didn't enjoy that. And it was kind of, she was saying, I'm trying. I really am trying, you know.
Yeah.
And then you hear the kind of the famous, this is the last time. And then after this time, you know, I'm not going to do it again, you know. But I really, so like I said, you know, the second time I watched it, farther away from the weekend, I really, there were certain things that I loved when Charming, you know, fit in his boots. You know, and was talking about, you know, I'm going to go get my wife. It's been too long. You're talking about faith, talking about belief, mm-hmm. you know, just that was so good. And you see the characters that, you know, kind of meandered and kind of didn't know what they were doing and just missed opportunities to do great things. And now they're really kind of stepping up to the plate. I mean, just little things like Snow saying, you know, the one thing that your father's taught me, you know, is never give up. It's just so good,
right.
You know.
Right.
I mean, that's so different from the I woof you card, you know, debacle and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I got to say, it's kind of like high school, watching kids grow up, you know, and freshmen to senior. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm really enjoying the older, the characters that we really saw a lot of in season one and kind of how they're stepping into their roles and destinies is really, it's really cool. So, and I think the ones that we've been introduced to now, we're kind of seeing them kind of begin to take steps. So anyhow, so that's okay. So, okay, good. I want to play the next bumper here.
And here are some great listener emails.
And we have a number of them, so we'll be going through them very soon. This is from Daniel Hyatt, and it was, I think, some things we kind of touched on, so I'll kind of pull out some different sections. This was lost in my spam folder. Sorry, I haven't thought again about that, Daniel. But let's see. Okay, zombies, Walking Dead, World War Z. Yeah, one question. Will there be one zombie dressed up in a red and black leather jacket and lead them in a dance number? Possibly. And if they ever do get to the Wizard of Oz theme, will the mantra as they walk through the forest be monsters and wolves and zombies? Oh, my. Monsters and wolves and zombies, oh my. Yep. and then they get to the poppy plants. Really stretching out the Halloween theme. No worries, Christmas is right around the corner. So thank you so much. It's Dan from Boston.
Yes.
Yes, yes. And this is from Cindy. In future podcasts, can you discuss how Rumpel got his limp? And Ima starts to chuckle. So, but no, I don't know exactly, but I think he got it as he ran away.
Possibly as he ran away from the Ogre War, or in the Ogre War itself while he was trying to fighting. That's, or he could have been born with it. I mean, for all we know.
Yeah.
We have no idea. We're assuming it's a war wound. We're assuming it's, you know, something that happened during the Ogre Wars, because he did eventually run away from them, but he was in them for at least some period of time, right?
Yeah.
Probably very short, but, you know. Yeah.
And it was, it's just a bit of a side note, and I'll come back, but it was, is so interesting to kind of get the history of the sleeping curse.
Mm-hmm.
It really was, and just this whole idea of this is old school, you know. Mm-hmm. We evolved the sleeping curse to use apples, but before then, I really had, you know, whatever. And just this comment, you know, you give the sleeping curse to Charming because you did his wife. So, you know, it was pretty funny, but there's a lot of little nuggets in there that I really kind of I noticed. And anyway, so, you know, who knew Rumpel and Regina would be on the same side working together? And again, it was so neat, this other side of Regina saying, you know, even though David and I disagree on many things, you know, the one thing we agree on, you know,
is safety. Yeah, right. Your safety.
So.
Oh. That sounds like a Skype call.
Yeah. Let's see here. Okay. So, and in that, we may be getting a call soon. So I'll just continue to read this. I can't recall if it has been mentioned, and some think he was injured in the Ogre Wars. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if he was caught and ran away, or if he never went to fight at all. He did fight, but he ran away.
He ran away, and that, if I remember correctly, that's when the rest of his regiment was killed. Because that was the comment from Hordor.
Yeah.
Hordor said, you got your whole platoon or whatever killed because you ran away or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that distinct comment.
If he was injured in the Ogre Wars, how is he perceived to be cowardly? Was he injured by someone else? Also, the actor uses the limp quite differently when he's in Storybrooke as Mr. Gold than he does in Fairytale Land as Rumpel. And that's true. That's true.
Well, yeah, and when he's the Dark One, Rumpel, he doesn't have the limp because he's surging with the Dark One's power.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he wouldn't have a limp. He'd be extremely strong.
Yeah.
When he is Mr. Gold, though, he does have the limp. So, and yeah, in Storybrooke, it's a little bit different. And I don't know if that's because of the cane he uses. Because in Fairytale World, he's using a staff more than a cane, if I remember right.
And yeah, it's almost like a crutch because it goes under his arm.
A little bit, yeah. It's a little higher. Whereas in Storybrooke, it's just a cane. And you do tend to walk differently on, like you said, a crutch or a staff than you would on with a cane.
Yep.
So, I mean, and, you know, I mean, I've always kind of, I wondered if, you know, when the magic came back, if he would no longer have the limp. Because he still has his magic now, but I think the reason he doesn't is because, you know, it's unstable. Magic is unstable.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, why doesn't he heal himself? That's kind of a question, and I don't know. Maybe he can't. Maybe that's the thing, is his power is not workable on. Well, no, that's not true, because he got the cut on his face from Charming sword fight, and he was able to heal that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there's something to do with it, and maybe he keeps it as a reminder of who he was.
Well, there's a story device of a a strong man with a limp. Mm-hmm. There's always an Achilles heel. There's always something, you know. And so, yeah, that's probably that kind of a thing. It's like a hero with glasses, you know, so Superman and all that. So Mr. Gold, and I can't imagine Mr. Gold carrying just an ordinary cane, so I'm always waiting to see if there's magic in his walking cane. True.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to say. And I would think that if there was, he would use it by now.
Yeah.
For some, don't you think?
Well, there was magic in beating Mo French almost to death. Good Lord. Anyway. And speaking of the Ogre Wars, if we ever find the Lost Boys in the Once Upon a Time story, I can imagine them being Ogre War refugees. Thanks again for your wonderful podcast. I could comment every day as I love this show and the thoughts of others who love it too. So thank you very much. And yeah, you know, they're kind of getting all these little characters around, you know, Peter Pan. So more than likely we'll find the Lost Boys. So yes, yes.
Very possible.
All right. This is from Sheila in Kentucky. And this is Jeff and Colleen. I have been listening to all of your podcasts from the very beginning, and I've loved every minute. God bless you. Listening to the podcast has made me feel like I'm a part of a once-loving community. It is not until after I am up to date on hearing the podcast that I really feel ready for Sunday night. You're very kind. I love the insight provided by the two of you and the other listeners. This, however, is my first communication with you. There have been many observations about why Whale is suspected wonderful Wizard of Oz. The talk of slippers and crystal ball between Rumpel and Jefferson. And also thought of this, too, is there were the glass slippers, too. So it could be a throw you off the scent. But anyway, I'm kind of going with red slippers just because that would be more interesting at this point. Jefferson's off. We shall go to see him comment to Regina when they were on their way for her to meet him. The comment about how if he can't do it, no one can. His Aussian style of dress, the fact that Jefferson blatantly called him the wizard, among others. I have observed another strong piece of evidence that I noticed immediately, but have not heard any mention of it on the podcast. Near the end of the episode, when Rumpel, Jefferson, and the doctor are finishing up their deal, and the doctor gets his enchanted heart, Rumpelstiltskin accuses the doctor of needing a magical heart to do what he claims is a non-magical task, and the doctor replies, "You are so small-minded," to Rumpel. In the musical, Wicked, Elphaba asks, "Do you think the wizard is dumb, or like the Munchkin, small-minded?" I've rarely heard the term "small-minded" used, so this seemed like a very obvious coincidence to me. Not only am I convinced Whale is the Wizard of Oz, I'm also beginning to entertain the possibility of Rumpelstiltskin being a Munchkin. Could be.
Okay.
Possibly. What do you think? Well, hey, anything is possible.
Anything is definitely possible.
You know, that would be interesting if that's how he began. And maybe changed over somehow. So
yeah, it's possible.
Anyway, thank you so much, Sheila, in Kentucky.
Thank you.
And yes, we did see Wicked.
And I didn't even pick up that whole small-minded.
I do remember.
So that's a great pull.
Yep. And it was the first play that we rode the subway train. Well, the train, and then we did the subway down into
Metrolink, and then the subway up into downtown LA. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So all the folks in New York and other places that use trains, I wish we did more, but it was one of our first trips that we use a metro. All right. This is from Chris. It says, another Stones reference. Hey, guys, I picked up on another Rolling Stones reference in tonight's episode. My favorite Rolling Stones song is Sympathy for the Devil. And toward the end of the song, when the speaker finally reveals that he is the devil, as heads is tails, just call me Lucifer, he tells the listener that if they were to meet him to have some courtesy. That sounds like Cora telling Aurora to show me some courtesy. As if we needed it, I take this as more proof that Cora is evil. Chris, yes, I would agree.
Oh, very much so. But here's the thing. So now this kind of sparks to me. Okay, so look, Cora is clearly very evil.
Yes.
There's just no getting around that. But how did she get that way? Remember? We all thought, oh, Regina's pure evil, blah, blah, blah. But right. Then how did she get that way? Oh, okay, well, we know now how she got that way. I can't wait to see how Cora got the way she is.
Well, and you bring up a good point. And, you know, I have written stories, and I enjoy the story process. And the one thing is, people say, how can you write an evil character if they were good at one point? I mean, I think it happens somehow, you know? And, but on
evil
the other hand,
evil isn't born, it's made.
That's true. But on the other hand, evil can be good. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just talked about it. I mean, Regina's scenes right now are so good. It's just like, it's just...
They're not pure good, though. They're flawed good, but they're good.
But
she isn't perfect.
Right.
And that's what I love about it. That's what I love about it is that we're seeing her, you know, take a bumpy road back because, you know, she said she wouldn't use magic, but then she's doing it. And she's doing it for the right reasons, but she's kind of sort of in a way, you know, not sticking with the whole I won't use it anymore.
Well, listen.
But then that's okay. And that's okay. Right. I'm not complaining. I'm not, you know, trying to downplay it. I'm just saying, you know, it's not, she's not perfect, and that's actually really good.
Right.
I appreciate that even more. And I swear, I don't know what is wrong with me tonight, but I've stuttered more tonight than I can shake a stick at, and I normally don't. So I don't know what's going on with my head. I think this bronchitis is messing me up, so sorry. Anyway, carry on.
You are forgiven, and I just did it just now. So I want to go back to all the people last season, podcasters, people saying, you know, I don't like Regina. She's da-da-da. I don't like the Evil Queen, da-da-da. Now we see that when people have the opportunity and a reason to change, they can change.
Mm-hmm.
So all those folks, I can name names,
mm-hmm.
have the opportunity now to look and say, wow, people can change. Even an evil queen, even an evil mayor, you know. So, yeah. Anyway, that's the moral of the story.
Yep.
So what we're going to do now, we're going to wrap up hour one, and we're going to go into the after party. I don't know how long the after party will work. I will last. We may get, we got a number of emails, so we'll get into those, and we'll go there. So I want to thank all of you for spending your Saturday evening with us, and that we appreciate every one of you taking the time to log in, to stay up, some of you. And, you know, if you're not on Twitter and we don't get a chance to kind of say hey or whatever, we want to wish you the merriest of Christmas and your holidays. We hope that they're fantastic and great. And I want to send big love out to everybody because this show is about all of us. And, you know, even though there may have been some blips along the line, this some of the storylines here and there, it's still a great show, and we are better for being a part of it and share this time with you guys. So big love to you guys. Thank you so much, and we'll be talking at you soon.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time Fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceovers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceovers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.